Today's audiocast for Monday, May 8th, 2006 is made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's audio news service. You may not have been hit with user fees aside from taxes on your 100 LOLED, but organizers of a small and growing fly-in at Allegan Airport near Grand Rapids, Michigan, say the FAA intends to charge them $3,200 to set up and staff a temporary tower for their event in late June. The new cost was an unwelcome surprise.
I had submitted a letter in January of 2006, which is pretty standard procedure, requesting the tower based on safety and on the volume of traffic. That was approved again for the tower this year. And then kind of out of the blue on March 30th, we received a letter saying, we will get your tower, but it's going to be contingent upon you paying us. And the FAA still had to figure out how much they were going to charge us for that.
Andy Millen, one of the event's organizers, said the tower is clearly a safety measure and is well within the mandate of the FAA. He added, we would like to refuse the payment as we feel this is the service the FAA is supposed to be there for.
FAA has been there to provide safety, but also to promote aviation within the United States. And this is exactly what this event is about, and we're going to be charged.
However, this is a genuine safety consideration, and we just can't roll the dice on this one, he went on to say. With up to 500 operations in a five-hour period, including up to 120 visiting aircraft, the tower is regarded as a necessity. And according to Millen, the added cost is not without its complications.
We really need the tower. It is essential for the safety. We have extremely high volume of traffic during the fly-in. We do not charge anyone to come. It is essentially there to promote aviation and promote the airport for the entire region. So we're having to go out and try and find corporate sponsorship to pay for this.
Though previously a beneficiary of free services, group organizers this year say they were told that free temporary tower services are a thing of the past. Those comments were attributed to Nancy B. Court, the FAA's area director for Central Terminal Operations, who they claim said free temporary tower services are a thing of the past. Show organizers will now be warily scraping together funds for the services, aware that such a reaction may set an unfortunate precedent. But is it a local decision or one that will be rolled out nationwide? The Allegan fly-in was started 5 years ago following a wake-up call delivered by the local civic government, which had apparently been trying to secretly sell the airport land. When we asked EAA spokesman Dick Nepinski about possible ramifications for EAA's Air Venture, the largest EAA gathering in the land, he said his organization has heard nothing about being charged for the so-called world's busiest tower. That tower has historically been manned by volunteers. Nepinski said EAA's position on such a notion is clear. No on user fees, he told AvWeb. Even more pressing among a segment of today's pilots is the addition of ethanol to owners of auto-fuel STC'd aircraft. Most states are considering laws requiring up to 10% ethanol in all or most automotive gasoline, and the federal government seems poised to make it easier for oil companies to make the switch by reducing, suspending, or even canceling a 54-cent per gallon tariff on imported ethanol. Ethanol-blended fuels are not permitted under the supplementary type certificates that otherwise allow the use of automotive fuels for specified aircraft engines. Alphabet groups like EAA and AOPA are actively pushing legislators to be careful with mandating the addition of ethanol to all grades of gasoline and suggest instead that premium gas be kept ethanol-free. But enough with these unpleasant things. The Air Venture NOTAM has been published. Since channeling thousands of aircraft ranging from gyrocopters to airliners into a single airport in a compressed time period is an evolving art, there are always a few changes to the procedures, and this year is no exception. A new VFR holding pattern has been established over Green Lake, and there's a displaced threshold on runway 27, and the airport will be closed a half hour earlier than in previous years for the air show. NORDO arrivals are restricted to 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. daily. But to take this report as your briefing would be a mistake, so find a link to the actual NOTAM in today's news online now at fweb.com. At the show this year, warbird buffs will be witness to one of the largest gatherings of Second World War heavy bombers. One of two flying examples of the Lancaster bomber left in the world will be making the trip from the Canadian Warbird Heritage Museum to join a B-29, a B-24, and up to five B-17s. On the general aviation front, EAA will be celebrating 50 years of the venerable Cessna 172, and they've left room for 500 parked examples on the grounds. In other news, the signs are up. Pilots needed must enjoy travel. According to a recent report in the Wall Street Journal, American pilots are flying the coop on cash-starved, morale-depressed, pension-gutting domestic carriers and landing high-paying jobs in Singapore, Hong Kong, and Dubai. Former U.S. Airways pilot Brian Murray now works for Emirates Airlines and says it's like returning to the golden age of aviation in the U.S. He told the Journal that pilots are treated with respect in this part of the world. We're driven to work, put in 4- and 5-star hotels on the concierge floors. Captains are treated as vice presidents of the organization, and there's no shortage of work. According to Boeing, 18,000 aircraft will be added to the worldwide fleet over the next 20 years. Here in the States, fuel prices may be tipping the scales in the flying versus driving equation. With gas prices topping $3 a gallon, airfare on some routes may be cheaper than driving or close enough in cost that the speed and convenience will tip the balance. With the price of gas, you have to evaluate closely whether you're saving much by not flying, Stan Gaddick, chief financial officer of AirTran Airways, told Knight Rider newspapers. Although fuel prices have driven up airfares, there's still fierce competition on well-traveled routes. And while you're at it, you might as well do the math on flying yourself. One AFWeb staffer noted recently after filling his sporty car with $3.45 a gallon premium that there would be about a $7 and 2-hour difference in cost between flying 180 miles and driving that far. Of course, his speedy home build will cover that distance in an hour, burning 8 gallons, and your car may fare better on the highway, but the fuel cost comparisons have likely never looked more favorable, and honestly, what would you rather do? A Boise, Idaho pilot who may have had better luck driving can expect a call from the FAA if he hasn't had one already. Authorities in Sun Valley reported an aircraft landed on a runway littered with heavy equipment that had been closed for some extension work. What particularly annoyed folks at Freedman Field was that the pilot reportedly declared a fuel emergency to justify his April 27th landing, but then took off again from the same closed runway without taking on any fuel. The airport operations manager told Sun Valley Online the pilot did, however, manage to drop off a passenger believed to be his sister who grabbed a cab and left the airport. A 16-year-old Tennessee boy who took a Piper Cherokee on a wild joyride last February 1st, possibly to impress his girlfriend, has been put on a 1-year probation by a youth court. Nathan Frost of Rockvale has also been ordered not to apply for a pilot certificate until he's 18. The boy pleaded guilty to reckless endangerment, theft of a truck, attempted burglary, and vandalizing a mailbox in the spectacular example of teenage drama that culminated with a pre-dawn buzzing of a neighborhood. Among the witnesses were sheriff's deputies who described the boy as a good pilot and said it was like watching an air show. A former Vietnam helicopter pilot hailed as a hero for his emergency landing of a DC-3 on a residential street in Fort Lauderdale last year is facing 20 charges relating to what authorities discovered in the plane. The DC-3 was carrying a load of granite bound for the Bahamas when it went down. Authorities subsequently discovered there was no customs paperwork with the rock, and they also alleged the pilot doesn't have the FAA's authorization to fly cargo to the Bahamas, something they claimed he'd done numerous times in the 2 years prior to the accident. The pilot's lawyer is confident prosecutors will not be able to prove any ill intent on the part of the pilot. Far to the north, organizers of the Monaco Air Duluth Air Show are getting a hard-won lesson in public relations after their president told the owners of 6 homes bordering the airport they'd have to be somewhere else during the air show. Ryan Kern told the 6 families that since their houses were in the air show box, they'd have to leave home from 11 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. for each of the 3 days, July 5th through the 7th, of the performance. He did offer them air show passes, according to the Duluth News Tribune. Well, the good folks of Lavaque Road in Hermantown, Minnesota, are reasonable folks who don't appear to want to spoil anyone's fun, but they did kind of balk at Kern's apparently self-imposed powers of eviction. The local police also noted that private property rights supersede airshow operational challenges. Fortunately, cooler heads and a little spending money prevailed. Find all of these stories and more online today at avweb.com. Comments on this podcast are always welcome. You can email us at audionews@avweb.com. This report has been made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. For more information, click on the AudioCast sponsors link. Look for AvWeb's next AudioCast on Friday, May 12th. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for listening.